This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
American Farm Bureau's director refuses to take sides in the newly elected Congress, but says AFB will continue to fight policies that are bad for agriculture. Dale Moore says it's too early to get dragged into the fights over energy, taxes, trade, and regulatory issues, despite a likely divided and maybe more polarized Congress in January.
We know there will be challenges, but I guarantee you that the quickest way to lose out on making advances on the priorities that farmers and ranchers have set for us to work on is to throw our hands up and say, you know what, this is going to be nearly impossible. That is not the way we operate.
And Moore is confident about two priorities here in lame duck Congress session: keeping the government funded after December 11th with temporary funding expiring, and passing a COVID-19 relief package with possibly billions more for agriculture.
My confidence is we will get a new COVID bill. I don't know exactly how much is going to be in there for agriculture, but I feel confident there will be some critical benefits in there, some assistance in there for agriculture.
Any COVID bill coming out of a lame duck or a new Congress next year could be bigger than Senate Republicans, who hold a narrower majority, want, and less than Speaker Pelosi and a slimmer House Democratic majority want. But as for other ag priorities, it's heavily needed.
Those things that are helping agriculture, we're going to be championing. Those things that can hurt farmers and ranchers and rural communities, we're going to be working to stop, and we look forward to working with any member of Congress, any member of the administration that helps us in those battles.
It could include, though Moore would not say, fights to restore waters of the U.S., clean water rules, higher estate capital gains and corporate tax levels, or to speed up the phasing out of gas and ethanol-powered vehicles. Uncertainty is one way to describe the outcome of the 2020 election cycle. While votes were still being counted Friday, the commodity markets were noticing what was taking place. Ben Cash is an account executive with Bauer Trading in Lafayette, Indiana. He says election results do affect the commodity market in some ways.
It does a little bit. There's not going to be likely any big stimulus. There's not going to likely be any conflict there. If it was a Democratic sweep, I think there would be a lot more uncertainty here. But it seems like our policies are going to be more of the same here, basically checks and balances here going forward. There's not going to be any big policy changes, especially on the tax side of things, either with the Republicans taking the Senate there.
The presidential election results typically do not have much of a long-term effect on the commodity market.
The market kind of factors that in. We just get back to weather and demand sort of thing. Obviously, the one unexpected thing we ran into when Trump took office was the tariff situation, trying to renegotiate a lot of trade deals. That's one thing that obviously has affected the ag markets for the past 3 years. We're finally breaking out, just looking at the soybean market. This is the highest level since the June of 2016, before the whole trade wars basically started. So as far as the overall, that's some kind of policy change that can affect price of corn, beans, and wheat. But overall, the market kind of shrugs it off and gets back to the main fundamentals here.
And the market is taking notice of improving fundamentals.
I think it has. I mean, I think we've seen the money sideline last week. That's why we've seen a dip in the market. Right now, we got beans up nearly 60 cents. A lot of it's driven by just continued demand from China. We're also seeing strong palm oil prices overseas. That's fueling the soybean products up as well. And then weather, still leaning somewhat pretty dry there in Argentina. Brazil seeing some rains, but pretty minimal here is what we have forecasted coming up the rest of the month, while Argentina remains pretty dry.
And in addition to weather and overseas demand, Cash says there is one other factor that will influence the market.
I think the coronavirus could affect, but for the most part, supply, demand, weather is going to be the main feature here. I think that's where the demand has really increased, and I think it's more of food security overseas is what we're starting to see with this coronavirus. It really affected the supply chain once we had shelter in place, lockdowns, quarantines early on there, really caused major concerns about food availability. We've seen hoarding at grocery stores. It wasn't a situation just here in the U.S. It was all over the world.
Again, that's Ben Cash, an account executive with Bauer Trading, Lafayette, Indiana. And we'll have more ag news on a Monday coming up next.
The weather, market conditions, sudden illness. These things may be out of your control, but you can control how they affect your farm. At Country Financial, our crop health coverage, fueled by GrainGuard, includes Good Samaritan, stored grain, and tornado coverage at no additional cost. Take simple steps to protect the future of your farm. Visit countrycrop.com today or call Wayne Schaefer at 498-5800.
Policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company in Bloomington, Illinois. Subject to policy terms and conditions, not available in all states.
With commodity prices lower, are you maximizing your fertilizer dollar by putting nutrients where your crop needs it most? Talk to M&M Service about their precision farming programs and decision-making tools. With their expert analysis and recommendations, you'll find the process of decision-making a whole lot easier. Minimize cost, maximize yields, optimize results. Discover how M&M can apply precision farming technologies to your operation. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Have you had your eye on a new Caterpillar machine? We have great news. Macoupin County Farm Bureau members can save up to $5,000 on the purchase or lease of eligible Cat machines, including wheel loaders, small and medium dozers, backhoe loaders, excavators, and more. Members also receive an additional $250 credit on work tool attachments purchased with new Cat machines. Not a Farm Bureau member? Call 217-854-2571 and join today.
Farmers know how important it is to have grain equipment functioning properly, but are you finding that your current grain storage situation is having trouble keeping up with harvest? Then make sure your first and only call is to McAdams Millwright Service and take advantage of their winter discount program with Suckup Manufacturing. Suckup is the world's largest family-owned and operated manufacturer of grain storage and grain drying equipment, founded in Iowa in 1962. So farmers remember that whatever the size of your project, call McAdams Millwright Services in Greenfield today.
And we're back here in your Monday Afternoon Ag Show and moving on into other ag news, more specifically grain news on your Monday. One could argue that the market doesn't seem too unsure of itself after soybeans alone gained about 45 cents on Wednesday and Thursday of last week after giving back about 3 cents on Friday. Of course, that pushed soybeans Thursday over $11 at the Chicago Board of Trade. We join market analyst Carl Setzer of AgriVisor, who recapped the close of Thursday soybeans.
We sit here and look at it, and we got to $10. It seemed like a bit of a stretch, and now we're at $11. And, you know, the market did have quite a feel that we were getting a little top-heavy today, though. Finished at 11.03 and three quarters on the January contract, a good 9 cents off the high while we were considerably higher. But we knocked on the door of a new contract high, set that, and then slid backwards a little bit. And if you look at the chart, we got above the upper Bollinger band today, and that's where we really exhausted our buying. We're sitting right at overbought on the RSI indicator, so I have to keep an eye on that too. A lot of the strength in soybeans today came from a what-if regarding the census data that came out. Census predicted September U.S. exports 286 million bushels. That's 50 million bushels higher than what the USDA has been using in balance sheets. If you take them 50 off and run through some production estimates that we've got, a carryout this year at 150 million bushels would be possible. Not saying it's going to be, but that's where we got the firepower for move trade higher today, along with South American weather that remains less than ideal.
And again, that was market analyst Carl Setzer with AgriVisor speaking on Thursday of last week. Sales of U.S. soybeans to China have slowed down from a previously rapid pace. Reuters says the slowdown is raising some questions of whether China is just pausing its purchases or if most of the intended volume has been purchased and Chinese buyers are waiting for Brazil's new supply to become available. Surging soybean sales to China is helping the overall level of farm trade to the Asian nation set new records for this time of year, while at the same time bringing China closer to meeting the purchase requirements in the Phase 1 trade deal with the United States. Net export sales of U.S. soybeans to China during the week ending October 29th totaled 810,710 tons, which is the lowest total in the last 11 weeks of the current marketing year. Of that volume included 578,600 tons switched from unknown destinations. There hasn't been a daily U.S. soybean sale explicitly to China since October 15, the longest streak since April of this year. U.S. soybean prices have risen significantly over the last 2 months, which may be a limiting factor in further sales at the end of this year. In other national news on this Monday, of course, at the end of October, the National FFA wrapped up their 93rd convention this year, held virtually due to the coronavirus pandemic. And now, going into its 94th year, the National FFA organization revealed its new Ag Education for All roadmap. The FFA's Christy Meyer says the roadmap outlines strategies FFA is taking to support inclusion, diversity, equity, and to ensure the organization is a bully-free zone.
Our work on this endeavor started in 2017 with listening to different people to try and understand where we've been, look at where we're going, and see how we can improve so everybody feels like they're playing a part.
Meyer says their plan includes creating a dedicated inclusion, diversity, and equity staff position at the national level, offering additional gender identity options on certain paperwork, and relaunching the HO Sergeant Award. FFA also plans to develop agricultural education for all curriculum and will train educators to be agricultural education for all facilitators.
What we're really seeing is this next generation of leaders really wants to make a difference and they want to serve their community. So through FFA and agricultural education, we provide those tools not only for leadership, but for the ability to give back to their community through service and help be those leaders in agriculture.
And FFA keeps growing. There's more than 760,000 students that are members of the FFA across the country. And with that, we conclude your Ag News on a Monday. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by email at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Monday afternoon, November 9th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.